And the hope of this whole series called See the World, you can write this down if you're taking notes, just kind of as a reminder kind of to yourself. The whole reason why we did this series is that we would simply learn to see as God sees. That you would learn and I would learn to see at least how God sees the world. And maybe you're not willing or you're unsure if you want to see the world the way God sees the world, but at least you would know that this is how God sees certain kind of aspects of the world. And the reason that we said that's kind of so important is because just like every parent wants their child to see the world, they see the world. Like that's your kind of idea. If you're a parent, you understand that idea that you want your child to see kind of, you know, things the way that you see things, because if they can see things the way you see things, they'll be more inclined to do what you tell them to do. And so we said, ultimately, this is what Jesus wants for us as our Heavenly Father cares about his children. He says, I just want you to see the world the way that I see the world. And if you do, you'll be more inclined to do what I say. And so we said this statement, Jesus, help me to see. We kind of put this prayer out for us throughout this whole series. Jesus, help me to see as you see, whatever it is, so that I can do as you say. And in part two of this series, we said this. We said, Jesus, help me to see money the way that you see money. Help me to see as you see money, if you would, so that I can do what you say. Remember, we talked about money and how it's really attached to our hearts, and that was part two of the series. And then in part three, we talked about this. We said, marriage. Jesus, help me to see kind of marriage the way that you see marriage so that I can do marriage the way that you said to do marriage. And so if you're a husband, Jesus, help me to see, you know, what it's supposed to be like as a husband. How do you see my role as a husband? How do you see my role as a parent, maybe? So help me to see marriage the way you see marriage so I can do as you say. And then we said, Jesus, help me to see time. We talked about this last week, time. We said, Jesus, help me to see my time here on earth, that my time is so small. Help me to see and how to use my time effectively for you and how you see time so that I can do as you say. And today, we're going to wrap up this whole series with this word, Jesus, help me to see inviting. Inviting. Jesus, help me to see inviting the way that you see inviting. And the reason this is such a really cool kind of topic to kind of finish this whole series off is because that's what ultimately, I don't know if you know this or not, that's what this really is all about. I mean, that's what this whole Jesus thing is all about. That's what the whole cross thing is all, you're like, why even the cross? Why the whole, I've heard of this resurrection thing? All of that really is based on this word, this idea of inviting. And so we're going to find this out today as we unpack the text that Jesus would say, I just want you to learn to see inviting the way that I see inviting. And when you see inviting the way I see inviting, you're going to be more inclined to invite. Yeah, okay, so yeah, everybody have their coffee. You're going to have the participation. You're going to learn how to do what? Invite. Yeah, so Jesus is like, this is so important because that's what this whole thing is all about. And in case you didn't know, the reason why you're sitting in the seat that you're sitting in today is because this whole entire thing was all about inviting. Yeah, it's all about. And if you got invited here today, this is kind of weird for you because you're like, wait, I got invited. Now I'm talking about inviting, but that's okay. You'll figure it out because we're all about inviting. This is what this whole thing is really all about. So before we jump in today, if you're here for the first time, kind of excited about this because you're going to get a little bit behind the scenes before we jump into the text. I just want to kind of give you behind the scenes of Brave, just a little bit, kind of where we came from, kind of what we're doing. When we started Brave officially launched just 10 months ago. And it's just been amazing to see the growth that has happened over just these past 10 months. It's been cool to see the baptisms, decisions, kids. We had 1,000 people at Easter, our very first Easter service. Just incredible. Just to see what God has been doing, you know, through us as a church. But when this whole kind of idea started actually in 2015, the preparations for it, kind of lots of different meetings that we had with a variety of people, all different kinds of conversations have taken place. Well, anyways, right around, I would guess it was probably fall of 2016, we started talking more about Brave and the heart behind Brave and why in the world we would want to go out and start this church, if you would, called Brave. And so we landed on this statement. We say it all the time around Brave. We say, our purpose is just simply to know God, make him known. We said, why are we going to even do this thing called Brave? Why are we going to set this stuff up and put curtains up and, you know, sing songs, and I'm going to try to preach some messages that are halfway decent. Why are we going to even try to attempt this thing? We said, well, ultimately, our purpose is so that people know God and make him known, that we wanted people to know who God is and then go beyond that and to take God into the world and to make him known to their friends, to their family, and ultimately, of course, into the world. And that's why Brave exists. That's the behind the scenes. That's why we do what we do. But then beyond that, we said, well, that sounds cool. How are you going to do that? And so, well, we're going to do it through something called a church, right? That's just kind of what God kind of instituted to as a channel to make this thing happen. So we're going to start this thing called the church. So we're going to call it Brave. That sounds good. We saw it on the back of a camper. We thought, that's got a cool name. Let's do it. All right. It was a little bit better than that, but that is true. It got verified on the back of a camper. All right. So we're kind of talking about this idea of, okay, what's Brave? What are we going to do? And we said, well, how are we going to actually do this? right? So if you're going to have a vision, if you're going to have a mission, you got, well, how are we going to actually accomplish this thing? And so there's all different kinds of churches. We know that all around our Trinity, Odessa, Tampa. I mean, there's just all different kinds of churches. So we're kind of like, why another church? You know, why that area? So what are we going to do? Kind of what are we specifically called to do? And we came up with this kind of approach or this strategy. We call it our strategy. And we said that the way we're going to make this happen, the way we're going to kind of help people know God and make him known is we're going to create an irresistible church. Or you could even take out the word church and put the word environment in. We're going to create an irresistible environment, an irresistible church for people who are far from God. Now, I can tell you, we spent over a year, and we still have conversations about this word irresistible and this word far. So let me just talk about that for a moment. We said we wanted to create a place that whenever people come to church, because we've been a part of resistible churches. Have you ever been to a church and you thought, I'll never go back to there? That was, I can resist that experience once again. That was terrible, right? I was trying to sleep and I couldn't even sleep well. It was so bad. I just, you know, it was terrible. So I didn't understand what was being said. So we've been a part of church world before, at least I have in my life, you know, growing up that, man, I resist church. When I was a kid, I wanted no part of church and I just resisted it. And so we thought, we didn't want to do that. We wanted to resist the things that make the church resistible. We didn't want to do that. We wanted to kind of change that up a little bit. And then we said we wanted to create this environment, this church for people who are far from God. And that became a real struggle for us, honestly, just between the few of us that were in the room talking about this idea. Well, is it for people who are far? Because then are we like leaving out the people who are close and kind of have this good relationship with God or you know have a desire for relationship with God? And we said, no. And this is so important for you to understand. The reason why we've just stuck with this idea that this is a church for people who are far from God is because we believe that if the church is reaching those who don't know God, people who maybe are far from God or just unsure about the whole God thing, that is a church that is absolutely irresistible to those who know God. If you know who God is in your life, you know that there is no greater satisfaction, something that happens internally in your spirit when you see people come to know who God is for the very first time. And so we just thought, hey, this is going to be a church for people who are far from God. That doesn't mean, oh, you don't care about me because I'm a church person. No. On the contrary, we just believe that. If you're a person who really knows God, you'd want to create space that was irresistible for those who don't know God. And that would become an irresistible church. And so that was really the heart behind this whole thing about creating this space from God. And what's so cool about this, and I'll share just a few stories. Each week I get to hear from some of you in this room today and some of you maybe that aren't, but I get to hear from a variety of people and they come up and they tell me about their experience and how much they loved Brave. In fact, one of, I would call him a decent friend or maybe even a good friend. He's kind of going up, you know, we're becoming really good friends. And we talk often about Brave and he's been to Brave a few times. And honestly, he just told me this a few weeks ago. He kind of came up to me and he said, hey, I just want you to know, I'm still not so sure about the whole Jesus thing. This is his honest statement, but I can tell you this, man, each and every week that I attend Brave, I can tell you, my week just ends up better. My week just ends up better. I just kind of, something happened. And we said, whenever we did these messages, whenever we did this service, we said, we just wanted it to be a place that maybe your friends, your neighbors, your coworkers, your colleagues, you know, whatever, could find a place that said, man, I don't know about that whole church thing. I'm not so sure about that whole Jesus thing, but I can tell you this, that was right on time. I really needed to hear that. That was really, and this is a key word for us, that was helpful. That was a helpful talk for me. And I'm not so sure about it, but that was really helpful. And so he said that to me the other day. He said, man, but I can tell you it's helpful. Each and every time I go, it's helpful to me. I'm like, well, come back every week. What's up, man? You know, I'm still not so committed to that committed, but I can tell you it's good for me. Beyond that, we said we wanted to take this idea about creating an irresistible church for people. Now, those people also include our kids' ministry, and they're having a ton of fun. That's why you hear the volume up sometimes, because it's like they're just having so much fun in there. And in fact, this is so cool. One of the things that highlights, I was talking to a parent just this past week, and they said this statement. They said, I just want you to know that we haven't been in a little while, and they kind of apologize. I'm so sorry we haven't been in a little while, but I just want you to know that my kid begs me to go to Brave every single week. In fact, one of the things they said their kids said to them, they woke up on a Monday and they literally go, Mom, it's today's church day. And she's like, no, unfortunately, like, oh, I'm going to go to school. That's terrible. I want to go to church. Church, how cool is that? Like some kids saying, I want to go to church. Okay, don't listen, for you not clapping, don't get mad at me if your kid's out of church in a couple of weeks, okay? You're like, celebrating my kid finding Jesus? Why don't my kid in Jesus, okay? Man, it's so cool to see our kids, man, love church. I don't know about you. I know about me, but when I was a kid, I hated to go to church. Like, that was the day that the clip-on ties, you know, and it was just smelled old, you know, just like, it was just weird. A lot of old people. Just, anybody been in a church like that is like, this is terrible, you know, and then they sing songs out of this book that make no sense. It's just a waste to anybody at all like that. You just say, okay, it was a waste of my time. We have kids. Listen, let's applaud this again. We have kids going, I want to go to church. That's amazing. I want to find out about Jesus. So it's just so cool creating this irresistible church for people who are far from God. And we know kids are far. Amen. Okay, anyways, it's another talk. So good. So as we kind of dreamed about this idea, creating this church, we also knew that we couldn't do it alone. That we were going to have some people around it that would say, you know, we're committed to that. We want to be a part of that. We feel that tug that say we want people to know God, make him known. We want to create this irresistible church for people who are far from God. So we started to think, well, how are we going to identify those people? How are we going to kind of identify, you know, who's in and who's a part of that? And so we came up with four things that would kind of help us identify who's a part of what we call our dream team, you know, that team of people. And we came up with these four things. We said the first one would be to commit to serve. If they would just simply commit to serve, they'd be a part. They'd share some of the responsibility of making all this happen. They use their talents. They use their gifts to make this happen each and every week. And that's what's happening now all around our church and our campus at this moment. People are just committing to serve and sing songs and do production and all these different things and kids ministry and parking lot. And so we just said this is one way that we would identify those people who are part of that vision. And we said a second part, they'd make a commitment to grow. And that's through our connect groups. They would make this commitment to grow, to attend services, you know, to be a part of this and to grow together, to do life together, to attend certain events, to attend our weekly groups. We have 9 different connect groups go on throughout the week for all different ages. And so we said commit to grow. Another one we said was a commit to give. Pastor George talked about that just a moment ago. This doesn't happen with people's generosity and support, that they would make a commitment to financially support and invest in what God is doing through Brave Church. And this is the fourth one we said, that they would make a commitment to invite. That there'd be this commitment that this person was willing to say, I want to be a part of that vision, the idea of helping people know God and make him known and create an irresistible church for people who are far from God, then they would make a commitment that we're going to invite people. We're going to bring people back to Brave. And this is the ultimate reason why. And I'm telling you what I'm about to tell you. It is not so that we can just have more people just for the sake of having more people. It's not for that. The reason that you invite, the reason why we believe inviting is so important is because of this statement, that Jesus is better experienced than explained. And you can write that down because that's so good. If you want to tweak that to yourself, you can do that as well, whatever you feel good about. Jesus is better experienced than explained. And here's what I know about my life, and this is just true for me. I have found myself in scenarios where I have found this to be absolutely truth. That you try to explain somebody about Jesus, you try to tell them, no, I'm just telling you, you know, Jesus is good, he's so good, and you could try to explain it, but there's a point where they go, I don't understand, no, you just got to come experience then. Because, and even Jesus understood this concept, we're going to find that out today, that he understood that even Jesus knew that he could not, this is so cool, Jesus knew that he could not explain himself to somebody and get them to come into a relationship. He actually knew that he had to get them to experience who he was. So if Jesus can't explain himself, you know, in such a way and talk himself, you know, kind of who he is to somebody to get them to come to believe in him, that they had to kind of experience this relationship with him, they had to see it for themselves, then what makes you think, you know, you or I possibly can? And so Jesus had to understand, we have to understand this idea that Jesus is simply better experienced than explained. And for some of you, you know it just like I do. You've been set free of a certain addiction. Maybe Jesus has done some cool miracle in your life and there was an addiction you had that you no longer have. You had some grievances. You had some grudges. You had some unforgiveness in your heart. And now all of a sudden you got a little bit more peace there. And you could try to go tell a coworker, sit down over lunch, have a cup of coffee and tell them. But the truth is you're like, I'm trying to explain it, but I just can't explain it to you, right? You just kind of have to experience this for yourself. Some of your friends, right? Some of you, you know, you've been telling, oh, I'm going to church. And they've been Facebooking on your stuff and commenting like, you're not in church. You know, like crying emojis or whatever, you know, laughing. And you're like, no, seriously, in church. Like, you know, whatever. You're like, no, you just got to come try this whole thing, right? You just got to experience it for yourself. In fact, I brought something. Anybody a fan of chocolate? Lindor truffles, by the way. Have you ever had one of these? Man, it is so good. Let me just tell you all about these amazing Lindor truffles. Literally, when I have one of these in my hand, it's like I'm excited before the package is opened. Anybody? Is anybody a chocolate lover like I am like this at all? Right? I don't know what those kind of candies you like. What are kind of, shout out some candies that you like, some enjoy. What are some other candies that you like? What? Mr. Goodbar. Do they make those? No, I'm joking. Okay. I was in the 80s, man. Get in the current realm, you know? Be a millennial. Come on, man. All right, so, man, you have one of these Lindor truffles? Man, they're so good. I'm telling you, man. You ever had it where it kind of melts in your mouth? Man, it's so good. Sharing is caring. I'm telling you, that one was really, this is like the sea salt flavor. Anybody like the chocolate and sea salt? Like a little sweetness? Yeah, so good. I'm telling you, can you guys taste it? You can't taste it. Because if you could taste it, you'd be tasting it. Do you guys know what I'm talking about? It's so good, right? Anybody want one of these? You want to try it out? Now, that's the ultimate rejection. When a husband, do you see what happened? He reaches out and says, I want some chocolate. She interferes and says, oh, no, honey, no, 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 no. What are you trying to say? Let's just have the conversation. We could break this into a marriage conversation if we need to.
What are you trying to say?
Hey, you be you. You know what I'm saying? You just be you. You're already married. You got a lot of lockdown. You're good. Anybody else want a truffle? Anybody has some of these before? You a fan of truffles? Yes, you will. Yes, take it. Man, I'm telling you. And taste it. Don't wait on it either. Taste it now. It's so good. Anybody else need a truffle? So good, right? You want one in the back? Look at the kids in the back excited. You want one? Do you really want one? Do the chicken dance. Show me you want one. I'm just joking. Don't do the chicken dance. She's thinking about it, though. Now, do you want one? Walking out. Here. So good. Isn't it so good? Did you try it yet? So good, right? Again. There's some things in life you just have to experience for yourself. There's an element I could tell you about these chocolates all day long. And some of you in the room, you're missing out. And the truth is, you do not know what it tastes like because you haven't tasted it. But some of you just had a taste of it, and now you're like, I want another one. How many of you just had one? You want another one. Anybody want another one? Look at it. Aren't they good? It's like, man, did you want another one? Look at it. Once she experienced it, she's like, man, I got to have another one of these. Did you eat yours yet? How was it? No, you don't have to dance again. Do you want another one, though? It's so good, isn't it? Here, so good. See, what happens is, once they experienced it, they had to taste it again. And what Jesus would say to you and he'd say to me is, I'm better experienced than I am explained. And many of you are just trying to explain to somebody about who I am, but you can't explain me. You have to experience me. And that's why Jesus would say inviting is so critical and so important, because people just have to experience it for themselves. There's a level that Jesus is just better experienced than he is explained. That's good preaching. I'm not even into the text yet. So this is really good. I'm doing well today. So Jesus would say three things we're going to look at today in your notes. How he invited, who he invited, and why he invited. How he invited, who he invited, and why he invited. Now in this story, we've written about the story that one of Jesus' greatest friends named John writes about this interaction between this woman and Jesus. And I've preached on it before. It's one of my favorite passages of scripture. And I want to read it to you again, but we're going to read it from a different angle. Here's what happened in the story. Jesus' friend named John records this moment between Jesus and this woman, and here's how John records it. He says, now he had to go. Say he had to go. He didn't have an option. He had to go. He didn't have an option. He had to go. He had made up his mind even the day before, the week before, and because he's Jesus and all-knowing, he had made up his mind from the beginning of time that I'm going to go do that day. I'm going to have to go do this. I have to go. I don't have an option. This is something just I have to do. It's inside of me. So he says he has to go through Samaria, and it continues on to say, verse 5, so he came to a town in Samaria called Sychar, near the plot of the ground of Jacob, who had given to his son Joseph. And John's just kind of giving us a history lesson. That's all he's doing. Jacob's well was there. And the readers are like, oh, yeah, Jacob's well. We know where Jacob's well is. Yeah. And Jesus, as tired as he was from the journey, sat down by the well. Oh, wait, by the way, it was about noon. So it's kind of the hot part of the day. And so John's just kind of letting us know this idea about kind of what Jesus is doing. He goes to this place called the well, and they're like, okay, I understand kind of what he's doing there. And then, verse 7, John begins to tell us about how Jesus starts this conversation. And he says, when a Samaritan woman, and he just wants his audience to know this is a Samaritan woman, came to draw water, Jesus said to her, now, whoa, 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 Jesus talked to the Samaritan woman. And if you're in this context or culture, you would have said, well, that doesn't make sense. Why in the world would Jesus talk to a Samaritan woman? Because Jews don't associate with Samaritans. And so there's just this understanding of why in the world is he talking to this woman? But what's interesting is that on the next line, in just a second, don't reveal it yet, Jesus is about to start and initiate the conversation. And here is how he initiates the conversation. Watch what he says to this woman as they begin to engage this conversation. He says, what are you doing with the rest of your afterlife? No, he doesn't say that. Some of you don't read your Bible. You're like, oh, that. Some of you read your Bible. You're like, man, he doesn't say that. That's weird. He doesn't say that. This is what he actually said. This is true. He said this. He said, heaven is no trick and hell is no treat. Have you heard? No, he didn't say that. For real, this is actually, if you were to read the Greek text, this is what he actually said. He said this statement, stop, drop, and roll won't work in hell. So you got to come to church. How do you like that? It's a good joke. So it's a good, just applaud it. Just help me feel good about myself. I wrote those and trying to be a comedian didn't work out for me. So I became a pastor. You ever had somebody say a weird line to you to come to church? Just something weird. Do you know what's true? I saw some of these on a marquee sign driving through the country. I won't tell you what state, but some weird states. And they put these on marquee signs. You're like thinking, man, who in the world is coming to your church? I just thought, these are true things that actually are written. Can you believe that? This is incredible. But anyways, Jesus didn't say that. Jesus didn't make some weird statement inviting somebody to the church. This is the truth. This is really what Jesus said. You can look it up in your text. This is what he said. He said, will you give me a drink? What I like so much about this idea is Jesus didn't say, hey, something's wrong with you. Jesus just started off with where she was in the moment. You got a woman. It's hot outside. She's going to the well because she's thirsty. And so he just throws out, hey, give me something to drink. Would you share some of your drink? He just starts with where she is in life. Write this down if you're taking notes. He initiated the invitation with where she was in life. He just initiated, that's important to note, he initiated the invitation with where she was in life. I'm going to give you three quick cues. Write these down to pay attention to whenever it is that God is putting somebody in front of you to invite. Here's three quick cues. Right? Number one, something's not going well. Listen for these three knots. Something's not going well. You ever had a person come to you and say, man, how's your day today? That's just not good. I'm losing my job, something's going on in my life. Marriage is in shambles. Something's happened to me recently. Sickness in my family. Laid off from work. Stressed about finances. Kids are sick. Can't figure kids out. Something's not going well. Oftentimes I have found when things are not going well in somebody's life, it's a great opportunity to make an invitation to come to find who Jesus is. Just pay attention to the cue. Something's not going well. Man, I hear you. Something's not going well. Hey, that wasn't going well for me either. But I'm telling you, you got to come try out this church. This is a great opportunity. I believe that maybe God will say something to you. And you can just begin the conversation from that point on. Just pay attention to the cue. Something's not going well. Here's another cue. Something, they're not prepared for this. Not prepared for this. I wasn't prepared for this to happen to my family. We were uprooted and left a state and had to move somewhere new. We weren't prepared for this. As a married couple, we had children. We're not prepared for this. Amen. I'm with you on that one. I know you're just never prepared for that, but you got to come try out church. Why would the world go to church? I'm telling you, church can make you a better parent. You can't. Well, hey, at least it'll make you a better kid. So, just not prepared for this. You just get in all kinds of conversations when somebody says, I wasn't prepared for this to happen. That's oftentimes an open door to begin a conversation. And here's the third cue, not in a church. Not going to a church. And I love this one. And this is my favorite one. Anytime somebody says to me, no, I'm not really into the church thing, I go, perfect. You got to come try out this church. In fact, I did it to recently somebody in here, and I'm going to pick on her. And I did this to Jessica, my neighbor. Do you remember this, Jessica? I talked to her. I'm going to pick on her. And I told her one day, we were talking outside of the house. She lives right next door to me. I mean, bless you guys, live next door to the pastor of the church. It's hard for them, And but we were talking one day before you came to church to Brave, and I said, go to church. Well, I don't know about church. And I said, no, this is perfect because this is a church for non-church people. You know what she said? Well, that sounds like the church I want to go to. And I'm like, wait a second. Okay, if that one works, you gotta come to church because it's a church for non-church people. Oh, it's a church where people don't go to church? Yeah, but it happens every Sunday. You gotta check it out. Yeah. And I think I'll go. I think I'll try it out. It's just amazing what can happen with this cue, just not in a church. So pay attention to these cues when somebody's maybe saying things aren't going well, wasn't prepared for this to happen, nah, not really into church. Oftentimes, these are really great cues just to start the conversation with where somebody is to make an invitation to come to know Christ. It's just amazing what God can do in this moment. So John continues to write in this story, and he's having this interaction with this woman. He says, "Will you give me a drink?" And then it goes on to say, "The Samaritan woman said to him, 'You're a Jew, and I'm a Samaritan woman. How can you ask me for a drink?'" And then John wants us to know, and he wants you to know, that Jews don't associate with these kinds of people. That normally a Jewish person doesn't talk to a Samaritan individual. Like, this should not happen. Then John continues to write more specifically about why this particular woman, who's a Samaritan, and Jews don't talk to Samaritans, this shouldn't be happening. Normally people avoided people like her. And then John later on tells us why people avoided people like her. And here's specifically what he writes. He says this in verse 16. He says, he told her, "I want you to go call your husband." This is Jesus talking. And John's revealing to us about why in the world people would have left this woman alone. So Jesus says, "I want you to go call your husband and come back." And then he continues on to say, and he goes, he says, "You are right when you say," and so she says, "I have no husband." Sorry, she says, "I have no husband." She says, "Yeah, you're right. You don't have a husband. In fact, you've had five husbands. The fact is you've had five husbands. And the man you now have is not your husband." He says, "What you have just said is quite true." And sometimes when you've ever heard that preached, you know, you could kind of read that and think that Jesus is being a jerk. He's being insensitive, you know. He's like, "You're right. You've had five husbands." Like, you know, just kind of this thing. Jesus is not trying to show himself up. He's not trying to, you know, make her relive her pain. What Jesus is obviously saying, and something we can't taste ourselves, see, and feel for ourselves, is the way in which he said it. But everything inside of me, absolutely, we're going to find out in just a moment, believes that the way he said it, the way he kind of touched the soul of the individual and the lady that he's talking to, he says, "Listen, I understand what you've gone through. What Jesus is trying to get across the table is, I understand your pain. I just want you to understand that I know what you've been through, and I know all those five divorces, and I saw the custody battles, and I saw the custody fights, and the amount of pain and suffering that you've been through. I'm aware of how you feel devalued. I'm aware of how he talked to you. I'm aware of what he said to you. I'm fully aware of how you feel about yourself." Because if a woman in this particular culture would have been divorced by her husband, and they would have written a certificate to say, "You know, I'm done with you," then she was passed on to another man, and then eventually passed on to another man, and then eventually passed on to another man, and then eventually passed on to another man, and now she's on maybe her sixth man. And he's like, "I'm aware of how you feel. In fact, remember it was about noon? So we know that nobody comes to the well at noon because it's hot. And I'm aware of the fact that you don't get invited to all the Starbucks conversations with all the other ladies. I'm aware that nobody likes you on Facebook. I'm aware of your situation. I'm aware of your pain." But yet Jesus is initiating the conversation, and this is the person that he's inviting. Watch this. This is the type of person he invites. He invites anyone, this is so important, regardless of their past, their pain, or their view. Three aspects of this woman that are so important. Number one, she's got a past, five divorces. Now, we don't know exactly why those divorces occurred necessarily. Could have been some on her, could have been some on them. We just know that she's got a rough past going on in her life. How many of you guys know that five divorces would take a toll on your soul? It would take a toll on your mind, right? And so this lady has a past. She's experienced pain in her life, no doubt about it. Jesus paid attention to the things aren't going well, wasn't prepared for this, and I'm not really a church kind of person because she's a Samaritan. And a Samaritan wouldn't have had the same view as a Jew had. They would have been actually considered outsiders in this culture and somebody who didn't share the same view that Jesus had of who he was. And it's obvious to us that she didn't know who Jesus was because she wasn't fully aware that she was talking to the Messiah in the moment. And so it's just so clear that Jesus makes the step not to invite somebody. This is so important for you to get. He didn't invite somebody who was already a person who was following him, had it figured out and was perfect, had the white picket fence and had it all going together. Jesus didn't invite those kind of people who thought that way. In fact, Jesus would say to those people, "This isn't for you. This is for the people who are not perfect. This is for the people who don't have it figured out. This is for people who have a past, who have some pain, and not only that, share a different view than I have." I've heard people recently going, "Oh my gosh, I invited somebody who doesn't believe in Jesus to come to church." And I said, "Well, then according to Jesus, you'd invited the right kind of person." Oftentimes we look for people who are Christians to come to church because that's what they do. But Jesus said, no, I'm looking for somebody who has some past, somebody who has some pain, and somebody who doesn't share the same view that I have. And this is the kind of person that Jesus looks for. So if you ever see a person who has a past, "Oh, you got a past, you got to come to church." No, don't say it that way. That's not the way to say it. Remember, start with where they are. You don't have to say it that way. But somebody who's got some pain in their life, you know, I've been there. I've felt that before. I know what that pain is like. I hear you. You got to come maybe check out this whole church. You share a different view, then you got to really come to this church. I'm telling you, because maybe I had the same view you had until I started going and started learning about it. Oh, you had the same view. I used to not believe what you believe. I used to kind of same thing. But now you just amazed what God has seen. In other words, you got to come experience this for yourself. And so John continues to write this whole concept, this whole idea behind this statement as he's kind of in this dialogue and in this conversation with this woman. And once this woman experiences Jesus for herself, watch what she says happens next. And John writes it this way. The moment Jesus begins this conversation, he's interacting with her. Here's what he says next about what this woman does. Watch what she does after in this conversation with Jesus. Then leaving her water jar, what she came for, says the woman went back to the town and said to the people, come what? Come see. Come see this man who told me everything I ever did. Come see. Come see. She's saying, you got to come and see. You got to come experience this for yourself. I could try to explain this to you, how this man just spoke to me. And I've had a lot of men promise things to me and say certain things to me. But there's something that he just triggered inside of my soul. And I can't explain it to you. You have to come taste this for yourself. You're going to have to come experience this. You got to come and see. You have to come and see. It's just something I know I can't explain it to you. I could try to explain it to you why I'm doing what I'm doing and why I'm saying what I'm saying to you, but I just honestly, I can't explain it enough. You just have to come and see it for yourself. You just got to come experience it. Because Jesus knew that once I can get somebody to experience me, then my spirit can do what it's been called to do and destined to do, which is change the soul of a person. And I know you can't explain something to somebody to get their hearts to change, but when they experience me, the spirit that's inside of me will come inside of them and conform them and transform their heart and their mind and their soul. So this is like, I need them to experience this. You can't. So she says, come and see a man who told me, you got to come experience this for yourself. Now watch what happens next in this whole story. So cool. It says, many of the Samaritans from that town believed in him because of the woman's testimony. So she shared her story, what God told her. And then he says, he told me everything that I ever did. So there's a realness here. And she's like, this is my story. This is what happened to me. This is what happened. This is my experience. So when the Samaritans came to him, not at the moment, this is so important, not at the moment that she shared the story, because she shared the story, she shared her experience, but it was at the moment that they began to experience him. It says, so when the Samaritans came to him, they urged him to stay. They just wanted another. Jesus, you just stay another day. You want another one? No, don't turn it down. You just got to come and see because it's so good. Because once they came once, they said, you got to stick around a couple more days. You just got to keep coming, you know. You got to keep coming because I've experienced this enough to know. And I just want to come and see. I just want to keep coming back. It says, and he stayed 2 days. Now watch this. And because of his words, many more became believers. Because of his words, many more became believers. Next verse, verse 42. This is how it wraps up. And they said to the woman, we no longer believe just because of what you said. We heard what you said, and we started thinking about it. But now that we've experienced it for ourselves, now that we have heard for ourselves, now that we have seen what you're talking about, and we've met the one that you're talking about, the one you've been talking to, now that we know. We what? We know. Why do we exist? We know so people would know. People know God, know God, know. He says, so that we would know that this man really is the Savior. Now we know he's the Savior. We know God. Now we know God because we've experienced him for ourselves. What's so fascinating about this entire story, cue some music for me, Eric. I just want to get a little intimate here for the moment. Let's bring up some music and just make it sound really cool. Help me out, my preaching. Watch this. It's amazing how it happens. Feel it? Here we go. I love setting that moan. It's just good. Oh, what? Some of you are thinking, oh, good. It's wrapping up time, lunchtime. But stay with me. Almost done. So fascinating. I was talking to my wife this morning, early this morning. I said to her, I said, man, I'm excited what I'm preaching on today. And I've actually never seen it this way until I started studying this text more. This whole text, I've preached it a lot in my life. And you've probably heard it preached a lot in your life. If you've been in church around you, you've heard it preached. That this whole story is about this woman. That is not what the story is about. In fact, if you read your Bible, it'll say it's like this woman at the well, as if to say that this woman is who the story is really all about. But I don't think so. I don't think the story is really focused on the woman. I think Jesus was trying to do something greater through the woman. Jesus was thinking about having an invitation to somebody. He's like, I got to extend an invitation because I got to go to Samaria. not to meet with a woman, but I need a woman to experience me. But not just any woman to kind of experience my relationship and my love for her. I could choose a million. There's a lot of them out there. I got to choose somebody I know who's willing to tell somebody else, come and see. I could have met with anybody at the well any point in time. I could have met, think about it. Jesus could have talked to anybody he wanted to, a man, a woman. Could, but yeah, Jesus says, no. At this particular time in history, at this particular time and moment, at noon, at Jacob's well, I've got to meet with this woman. Why her? Because Jesus knew when she experiences me, she's going to tell somebody else, you got to come and see. And so what Jesus is trying to do is get to the others that she would later on invite. The story is much bigger than this woman. It goes way more than that. If it wasn't, it would have been like, hey, I met this woman at the well. She gave her life to Jesus and everybody said amen. But that is not how the story concluded. It said because of this woman, many more came to believe because Jesus had this conversation and made this invitation to this woman. Write this down, last one, taking notes, why Jesus invites. If you want to know why Jesus invites, he says this. He invites simply so that others would come to know him. My heart and my desire is for the world. Jesus did not have a small vision mentality. He didn't say, man, if I could just really, really just save a city, just one city, that'd be amazing. Jesus went after something much bigger. I'm going to try to get to the world. Now, you guys would laugh at me if I said, church, listen, we're going to be a church for the world. The world is coming. The brave. Ricky, pipe it down. Let's just start with a suburb, you know? Jesus says, no, you got the wrong attitude. I'm looking for some people who are going to bring many more. Because my vision is the world. That's my vision. It's the world. Now, some of you are like, well, that's Jesus' vision. Ricky, that can't possibly be our vision here, right? I mean, you're not going to try to tell me, let's reach the world. I mean, that's exactly what I'm telling you. Well, that's a pretty big vision. Good luck, buddy. Listen, I'm just trying to teach you on how Jesus invites and why he invites. And he invites so that the world will come to know him. That's his reason for doing it. In fact, that's his whole reason for going to the cross and paying the death that he paid. And then resurrecting that whole thing and the whole cross, that whole thing is so that somebody would come to know who he is. In fact, not just one, but so that the world would come. And here's what's true about Brave. And I just want you to know this before you leave today, that you understand this idea. And we're saying this often. We're going to continue to say this often. And this is not to beat you up. This is not to say we're doing bad. This is just something that is so heavy upon our hearts that we believe with everything inside of us that Jesus would say as well. An empty seat is a big deal. An empty seat is a big deal. Not just so we can have a certain size church, but because we want to align with the will of the Father in heaven, which is to save the world. And if there is an empty seat available, it means we have a spot for somebody who's not here. That means we have space. And we have plenty of it. In fact, we have so much space, we've done the math, we know we could easily run about 300 people in just one service. Safely, smoothly, with kids and ministries. We have enough space. God has provided us enough space. We have enough space. We have plenty of it. That's why an empty seat is a big deal. Because we know that Jesus would say, man, this is a big deal to me. Saving somebody's soul for my eternity is a big deal. It does matter. When we look around, we go, man, we have extra space that somebody's not sitting in, that somebody could be sitting in today. So here's my encouragement to you as we kind of think about this whole thing about inviting and learning to see inviting the way that Jesus sees inviting. Here's how Jesus saw inviting. He said it numerous times to his disciples and to many people who didn't follow him. When he said to follow him, this is what Jesus always said. This is what Jesus said. Go look it up in scripture over and over and over again. Here's what he said. Come and see with me. He told his disciples, hey, come and see. Come follow me. He didn't say, hey, let me explain to you the Jewish traditions and history of the world. There we go. You ready? Sit down. Let me tell you something. He just said, come follow me. You got to come with me. You got to just sit down. Have some dinner. Let's talk for a little bit. You got to come and see with me. You have to come and see with me. You just got to come and see with me. On your seat is a cards that we made for you, and they say, come and see. You can take those in your hand if you would. Just participate and just grab the stack of cards that are in your seat. Steal somebody's next to you if you're really feeling ambitious. Everybody get one in your hand. And my hope, my prayer for this series, and I know that God's hope in his prayer for this series, the same thing that we will learn to see inviting as he sees inviting, is that you'd be willing to say this statement as you hold those cards in your hand. Here's the prayer. Here's the statement that I'm asking you to make, and maybe you would be willing to do that. I am willing to see inviting the way that you see inviting. I'm willing to see inviting the way you see inviting. I'm willing to see how I invite, just starting with where they are. Somebody just comes in front of me. Something's not going well. Weren't prepared for us. Don't go to church. I'm willing to see inviting how you see inviting. The person I'm supposed to invite is a person who's experienced some past, some pain. Maybe it shares a different view. I'm willing to see inviting how you see inviting. And I'm willing to see inviting how you see inviting. Why? That the reason you extended an invitation to that woman was eventually to get to, watch this, you. See, what you didn't think about was, maybe, just maybe, you don't know this, but the reason you're sitting in your seat today is because this woman took a message and shared it with somebody else. And over thousands of years and decades and decades and decades, the reason, this is so true, why you're sitting in the seat that you're sitting in today is because somebody else made the decision to say, come and see with me. That's the only reason you're sitting in the seat today. You would not be in the seat today if somebody didn't, somewhere along your lineage, along your family, somebody took a step of courage and said, come and see with me. It was your grandparent, it was your mom, it was an aunt, it was a friend, it was somebody you never met in your life, but they said, come and see with me, if you can come and see with me. And that's the reason you're sitting in the seat that you're sitting in today, because somebody did this idea. So now the challenge is on you. It's inviting you into this idea. To imagine, to say to the Lord, Lord, each day, I'm willing to see inviting the way you see inviting. Therefore, if you send someone my way today, not tomorrow, but today, if you send someone my way today, I will initiate the invitation. I will initiate the invitation. I will initiate the invitation. Would you stand to your feet? I will initiate the invitation. I will initiate the invitation. Jesus, if you send somebody my way, I will initiate the invitation, regardless of their past, their pain, or their view. And I will simply start with wherever you lead the conversation to be. But make no mistake about it, I will be a person like the woman at the well who extends the invitation. Because I know that the reason that you're giving me this opportunity, this is so important, somebody's got to pay attention to this because it's going to happen to you this week. The reason that you're giving me this opportunity in this conversation in the middle of our work environment, right after a business meeting has just ended, right before a lunch has just occurred, the reason why I'm doing this checkout, the reason why this waiter is coming over to me, the reason why you're giving me this moment and this opportunity is so that I could be like the woman at the well, that others could come and see to know who you are. So Jesus, I'm going to extend the invitation. Now, if you're not applauding, that just means you're not going to do it. That's okay. That's okay. That's okay. You don't have to participate. I'm just here to teach you and tell you how Jesus sees inviting. And the reason why oftentimes people maybe don't get an opportunity to invite is because Jesus would know that you're not willing to do it. But Jesus said, I'm looking for some people who are willing to extend an invitation, to take a step out into the unknown and say, you got to come and see with me. Not say they're no for them, but be willing to extend the invitation and say, I'm willing to see inviting the way you see inviting. Therefore, if you send someone my way today, I'll initiate the invitation. And over the next few months, we have great opportunities for you to extend an invitation. We have our fall festival going on next week. We got a helicopter drop. You don't got to tell them to come to church that one. You're like, hey, go see a helicopter. It's going to be cool. We're going to drop some candy. Some kids are going to get killed. I don't know. Let's go check it out. Get it on Facebook. I don't know. Go viral. We'll see what happens. You know, what an easy way to extend an invitation. I'm not even telling them to come to church. Just watch a helicopter drop. It's so easy. Fall festival. People are so tired of fall festivals. I know you're tired of it. I'm tired of it too. But let's just go anyways. I guess so. You know, just fall festival. Why not? November 5th, we're going to be doing baptisms again. We've got some people in our church that have decided to give, you know, their whole life to God and to get baptized. We're going to do baptisms on November. That's something to celebrate. So you got to come see baptisms. Hey, you know what? I was thinking about this today. Even if you've already been baptized, go ahead and tell them I'm getting baptized. You got to come see me get baptized. Well, I've already been. I don't care. Use it as a leverage. It ain't sin. Get baptized again. Just get. Come see me get baptized. I'll treat it like it's your first. It's all right. Just tell them to come. They don't got to know. Okay. We'll do anything short of sin to reach those who don't know God. Amen? Okay. November 12th, God is my source. This is going to be a great series that we do. Pastor George is going to be preaching in this series, God is my source. It's going to be a really cool series for us. Miracles is another series we're going to start on December 3rd. It's going to be really cool, believing for God to do some really cool miracles. And December 24th is our Christmas Eve service. So many people's minds are opened around these next couple of months. You have great opportunities to invite and extend an invitation to people around the next few months. So let's just take whatever God gives us in front of us and extend the invitation, initiate the invitation with a simply come and see with me. And it's even on the card. I've made it so simple. You don't even have to say anything. Just hand it to me. Let's pray. Jesus, thank you so much for your word today. Thank you for sending your son to die for us on a cross. We also thank you for initiating the invitation to this woman to come to know you. For it may be so that we wouldn't be here today if she wouldn't have said to come and see to somebody else. So Jesus, thank you for electing her and choosing her. Someone you saw who had the courage and the passion and desire to go and share what she had found out. And not just keep it for herself, but extend it to somebody else. So we thank you for that. And today maybe is a decision you got to make today. Just a personal decision to say, Jesus, I want to accept the invitation into a life with you. Maybe you've never accepted just that invitation. The invitation to make Jesus truly the center of your life. If you've never made that decision before in your life, would you just lift your hand where you are? I'm going to pray with you. We'll wrap it up. Amen, a hand in the back of the room. Keep your hand up. Amen. The Bible says even when one person, amen, another hand's gone up in the room. I'm going to give you a moment. You're just saying, Jesus, today, this is what you're saying if your hand is lifted. Jesus, today, I accept you as my Savior. Today, I know that you've died for me and you've risen for me, and I want to spend the rest of my life living for you. Anybody else? Hands in the room. If your hand is lifted, just whisper this in your heart. You don't even have to say it out loud if you don't want to. Just whisper it in your heart to Jesus. Just say, Jesus, I give you my life. Today, I make it about you going forward. Forgive me of my sin. Help me to live for you and learn about who you are. And I promise to do my best to learn about you, seeing this as a journey. God, thank you for saving me today. In Jesus' name, can we celebrate those who made the decision today? Hey, if you made a decision, here's your next step. If you had your hand lifted a minute ago and I saw you, I'm going to call you out. And I won't call you out, but here's what I will say to you. Take the Connect card. On the back of your Connect card, it just says, made a decision. You know, you can baptism, prayer to receive the Lord, or recommitment. Just check that off. Put your name and your address, phone number on it, something like that. Take that card over to the Brave tent. That's a black tent outside. We have a gift we want to give you. We want to give you a Bible if you don't have one. Answer any questions that you might have about this whole journey thing. And then we're doing baptisms on November the 5th. And so maybe you just want to kind of go all in and say, you know what, I'm going to get baptized too. I'm not sure what that means, but I'm going to figure it out. I'm going to jump in. Do that. Make that decision. Hey, next week we'll be right here. Super excited. Of course, this weekend, the helicopter drop on Friday. We'll be back for our fall festival. Come and see with me. Take those invite cards home. Hand them to somebody and say, come and see with me. We'll see you guys later. Have a good weekend.